people who have followed the sequence of getting education, getting a full-time job, and then marrying before kids are much more likely to be flourishing economically when they hit their late 20s and their 30s.
This is Family Policy Matters with NC Family President John Rustin.
Thanks for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. Today we'll be discussing an important topic that plays a significant role in the well-being and success of young adults in today's culture. In order to achieve financial stability and success in a number of different areas of life, our guest contends that young adults would be wise to follow what he refers to as the millennial success sequence. Now, this involves pursuing a specific sequence of life events, including marriage and children, that helps to prepare and position young adults to experience greater stability and success later in life. Our guest today is Dr. Bradford Wilcox, Senior Fellow at the Institute for Family Studies, Director of the National Marriage Project at the University of Virginia, and a visiting scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, where he conducts research on marriage, cohabitation, fatherhood, and the welfare of children. Today, we will be discussing his new report, The Millennial Success Sequence, Marriage, Kids, and the Success Sequence Among Young Adults. Dr. Wilcox, welcome to Family Policy Matters. It's great to have you back on the show.
John, it's good to be here today.
Now, according to social science, Brad, and statistics, we have now hit a point in American history where a majority of millennials are deciding to have children before they get married, if they do get married at all. And needless to say, this is quite concerning. Is this an intentional decision to avoid or delay marriage, or is it a byproduct of our current culture and seemingly popular lifestyle choices that are being made by the millennial generation?
Well, John, it's a great question. I think it's important just to add one caveat, though, to this, and that is that what we've done is look at kind of what millennials who have become parents have done to date. And because millennials are kind of now moving into the mid and late 30s, there are going to be some millennials who are having their first kids from now on. And the vast majority of those millennials are going to have those kids in there. So as we kind of look at millennials, probably say to come back in, say, 10 years, if we were to talk in 10 years, my guess is that probably around 45% of millennials will have had their kids outside of marriage. But obviously still a big number. And the question you're asking is why? And what I would say is there are really three things. I think one thing is that there are a lot of millennials who are kind of drifting into relationships. They're drifting into parenthood. And, you know, they're not being deliberate about what's happening in a relationship. They're not being deliberate about, you know, thinking about sex and parenthood and kids. And they're just kind of letting things happen. And that's, of course, you know, a problem on a variety of levels, but I think that's part of the dynamic. The second thing that we're seeing, though, is that particularly for less educated millennials, and especially for guys, a lot of them are not in a great spot professionally or work-wise. And so both they and often their girlfriends are reluctant to go ahead and get married, and yet obviously they're not necessarily reluctant to go ahead and have a kid. And then the third thing I think we would want to just point out here is that for a number of lower-income couples, our means-tested welfare system tends to penalize marriage for a, you know, substantial minority of them. And so for some of them, there may be kind of a calculus going on where they start thinking about, well, you know, if I want to get the birth paid for through Medicaid or something else, probably best for me not to get married until after that baby comes along. So that's one other dynamic that we see in the mix. So sort of a cultural, an economic, and a policy. So they've all combined to bring us to this predicament that we're talking about today.
Well, Brad, what has your research discovered about the relationship between these lifestyle decisions regarding marriage and childbearing and the financial situation of young adults?
Well, what we're seeing here is that young adults who get at least a high school degree and preferably either get a college degree or get some kind of vocational training, whether it's, you know, working with IT or whether it's advanced manufacturing or becoming a, you know, a CNA, a certified nursing assistant. Young adults are going to get that educational piece done first and then have full-time work where they're working, you know, 40 hours a week on something meaningful and important, and then get married and then have kids. Those young adults have a very low risk of poverty, only 3% in our new research. By contrast, young adults who are not following that sequence, and particularly young adults who are putting baby carriage before marriage, are more likely to experience poverty, more likely to experience economic distress. And we think that's the case because what happens oftentimes is if you're kind of drifting into parenthood and drifting into sort of starting a family, you often, as a couple, don't stay together. And so, of course, that then leads to Often the dad's not contributing financially to the family because he's the one usually who leaves the household. The mom is going to be struggling more financially. And then also the guy who's going to be, you know, he's going to be paying child support. So even if he goes on to marry, for instance, and have a, you know, have a second family in a sense, he's going to be losing a substantial share of his income every, you know, paycheck to pay for that child in a different household. So the point I'm making here is that not following the sequence, particularly around marriage and parenthood, tends to put millennials, younger adults today, in a more precarious financial position because, you know, either dad's not in the household or, you know, the man is paying for a child in a different household. And both of those two scenarios have obvious negative economic consequences.
Well, Brad, you talk about youth drifting into these roles as opposed to being more intentional. Why is that? I mean, what are some of the cultural circumstances that have led millennials to sort of just drift into these major life decisions versus being more intentional about them?
Well, you know, I think we live in a culture, to paraphrase the Nike slogan, of where you're, you know, just do it, basically. And where people are kind of living in the moment oftentimes when it comes to relationships, when it comes to childbearing, when it comes to other things. And they don't have kind of a long-term perspective where they kind of are either forced to or on their own terms come to realize, look, what I do now, what I do in 6 months, what happens to me in 9 months if I'm having a child, you know, all these things have a big impact on my long-term future and the future of my, you know, of my kids or any kids that I might have. So I think there's a kind of short-termism that's sort of encouraged by the pop culture. But then also another problem we're facing is that today we don't have many times a kind of long-term job stability. You know, if you were going into the workforce in the 1950s, 1960s, you might go to work for General Motors or Ford or IBM. And if you were a decent worker and you had a decent work ethic, you'd have a job for life. And you had a sense of, like, you know, your future and your security. And that made people more comfortable to go ahead and get married and have kids. Today, that security is often not there. And so people are more hesitant to go in and lock in on a relationship, on a marriage, and on a family. And so, you know, that's just part of the tougher new reality that we have today in our society. And so I think that people have to be, I think, actually more cognizant of how much they're going to depend upon their spouse. You know, so if they lose their job, you know, they can rely upon their spouse or on their in-laws, you know, to help them out. And so I think today, unfortunately, we tend to see sort of marriage as something you don't do until you got all your economic ducks in a row. And what I would say, actually, is that recognize that, like, the right marriage with the right family, you know, in the mix will actually be a support to you, you know, in today's more, you know, unstable and precarious economic environment. So I kind of want to, I would just sort of flip that point and just say, look, you know, given all the economic insecurity people face today, it's even that much more important to have a spouse in your corner, to have your parents in your corner, if at all possible, and to have your in-laws in your corner. And that's more likely to happen when you put a ring on it than if you live together or just date. So I'm just saying, if you find a good person, you know, if you're serious about them, then I think marriage becomes a very good thing to think about and actually can be a source of economic security in today's times.
You're listening to Family Policy Matters, a resource from NC Family. To listen to our radio show online and for more resources that will help you be a voice of persuasion in your community, go to our website at ncfamily.org.
In speaking of this longer-term viewpoint, and I think that's so critically important for us, it's not just the millennials, the young adults that we're talking about now, but the future generations. What do your years of research tell you the consequences of these decisions and actions are going to have by young adults on the children who are born into the homes of young unmarried parents, especially in the areas of health, education, finances, and other critical factors that are such an important part of future success?
Well, I think it's important, you know, for everyone to realize that when you put the baby carriage after marriage, you're much more likely to stay together, you know, as a family, and your kids are more likely to grow up in a stable married context. You know, people have heard that 1 in 2 marriages end in divorce. Well, today that's no longer true. It's closer to 4 in 10. And if you do things like, for instance, you know, go to church together, your odds of divorce go down even, you know, even more. So I think people need to recognize that when it comes to you know, raising up kids, that marriage provides the most security for the next generation. And that security is important because kids are more likely to flourish when they have the financial support of both parents and the role modeling of their own father in the household.
Well, how do other factors like ethnicity, education, and employment affect the financial success of young adults, really regardless of their marital or parenthood status?
What we see in this new research is that the success sequence works for basically everyone. It doesn't matter if you're white, if you're black, or if you're Hispanic. It doesn't matter if you're from a lower income background or an upper income background. What we see is that people who have followed the sequence of getting education, getting a full-time job, and then marrying before kids are much more likely to be flourishing, you know, economically when they hit, you know, their late 20s and their 30s.
And how do, from your research, how do young adults who have delayed, say, marriage and childbirth compared to their counterparts who have entered into one or both of these really milestones of life earlier on?
Well, that's a complicated question in one sense. And that is because kids are, you know, as all of us know, have kids, they are expensive. And so it doesn't really matter if you have kids in marriage or outside of marriage. You know, when you have kids, you're going to be spending a substantial share of your income, you know, on children. But we do find that young millennials who are married with or without kids are the ones who are most likely to be flourishing today economically. And so having that ability either to pool income or to have someone specialize, you know, in a job, also having today, frankly, oftentimes the financial support, not just of your own parents, but of your, you know, in-laws, gives you important resources as well. So we do find in this new research, again, that millennials who are married with or without children are the ones who are doing better than their peers. And that's true for better educated and less educated, for white, black, and Hispanic millennials. So it's kind of it's just a story for millennials across the board that marriage matters for them financially.
Well, that is so important. Now, Brad, what sorts of community or public policy efforts could be made to educate young people about these factors and encourage them to choose this success sequence of marriage and then children for future success?
Well, you know, John, today we live in a world where college-educated Americans are doing a pretty good job of getting married and staying married and having their kids in marriage. So I think they've kind of gotten the message after the divorce revolution in the 70s and 80s that, you know, really the best thing for them and for their kids is to embrace a pretty actually conventional lifestyle, you know, for the family. But that message has not really kind of filtered down in recent years to working class and poor Americans. And so for them, I think having some kind of public campaign that would talk about the importance of getting some kind of education, working stably, and then getting married, and then having kids would be really helpful in terms of giving them some ideas and some support and some encouragement to pursue this success sequence. And recognizing here that for people who are skeptical about this kind of idea, that we have actually achieved a great deal of success in recent years with public campaigns around drunken driving, public campaigns around teenage pregnancy, and if we can kind of make progress on things like drunken driving, teen pregnancy, we can also make progress on things like the success sequence as well.
Well, Brad, I know this conversation is prompting our listeners to want to get more information about it. Where can they go to learn more about this topic, about your new research, and about research that you've done over the years on marriage, on the success sequence, and how they might be able to engage young adults and to provide information to them even that will help them be encouraged and to understand the value of the success sequence that you talk about?
Well, family-studies.org is a good place to go for research from the Institute for Family Studies, which has been one of the co-sponsors of this new report. And we have a lot of other good, you know, items of research on the website. And they can also follow me on Twitter at WilcoxMMP.
Well, great. Well, Dr. Brad Wilcox, unfortunately, we're out of time for this week, but I want to thank you so much for being with us on Family Policy Matters and for your great research and efforts to encourage young people to get married, to live successful lives, and to have children in this order. So thank you so much.
John, thanks for having me on today. I appreciate the opportunity to be with your listeners.
You've been listening to Family Policy Matters, a production of NC Family. to listen to our radio show online, and for more valuable resources and information about issues important to families in North Carolina, go to our website at ncfamily.org and follow us on Twitter and Facebook.